One of the most common cautious questions today is whether you can buy Starbucks coffee without a Hechsher. And there's a second related question, which I'm going to discuss, which is, can you sit in a Starbucks cafe? And why do some people avoid sitting in a Starbucks cafe? So the first question, the couch to the coffee. So we're talking about specifically plain black coffee. Obviously, there are certain syrups that are not kosher, and it could be certain products in Starbucks that are not kosher. I'm talking about plain black coffee. Plain black coffee is kosher. So what's the issue? Well, Rav told me that it might be a bad idea to encourage people to go to Starbucks because they might. There's a lot of non-kosher products. So if you want to get coffee, don't go to a place where they may also buy non-kosher products. But be that as it may, let's just talk about specifically the halachic issue of buying plain black coffee at Starbucks. Now, regarding a simple coffee machine which brews plain unflavored ground coffee beans into drinkable coffee, the coffee grinds are placed on the top of a filter paper, which is supported by a brew basket, a metal filter basket, and then hot water pours through the grinds and drips through the filter into a waiting insulated pot, and then the coffee is poured into cups through the spigot found at the bottom of the pot. Now, brew pots are never used for flavored coffee. The flavor syrup is squirted into individual cups of coffee as per the customer's request. So originally, it was thought that all coffee was made in a self-contained machine, and the only thing you wash is the brew basket where you place the filter, and we generally wash that in the sink. A few years ago, the CRC and Starcade changed their kosher policy regarding coffee at Starbucks. And what's interesting is that the CRC put out a chart where they said coffee on the road. And there it says stores like Dunkin' Donuts and 7-Eleven are permitted, whereas places like a gas station or a rest stop, it seems that if there are other hot foods are sold, in which case CRC says it's permitted only bidyeved, meaning when one must have caffeine, an appropriate alternative is not readily available. That's the CRC's position on this. Now, what's the concern? The concern is that in some Starbucks, we'll talk about first Starbucks, then we'll talk about Dunkin' Donuts, 7-Eleven. So the concern is that in some Starbucks, the brew basket was being washed in a dishwasher with non-kosher kalim that absorb taste from non-kosher food. For example, if you have tongs that remove non-kosher sandwiches from the oven, and then that tongs would put in a dishwasher, and if you wash the tong with the non-kosher taste together with the brew basket, then the tongs will transfer non-kosher taste to the brew basket. So if that happens and the brew basket isn't kosher, then maybe the coffee wouldn't be kosher. That's the argument. So, you might respond, but wait a second. If the brew basket is being washed with the non-kosher tongs, it's being washed with soap. And we all know that soap is pogum. It makes the taste stale, and it creates an unpleasant taste, right? So therefore, if you have if the non-kosher taste is accompanied by soap, so then the taste that is absorbed is an unpleasant non-kosher taste, and we hold it nosing tam lifkan is mutter. So what should be the problem if you're washing the brew basket together with the non-kosher tongs? So the apparently in many Starbucks, the dishwasher first does a single rinse with soap at 130 degrees, and then a second rinse at 170 degrees with no soap. So what's the issue then? The first rinse with soap at 130 degrees. So there, that soap will completely render any residue, that's any non-kosher residue, that's going to make it unpleasant. And we're not worried about non-kosher residue that's in the dishwasher. But the issue is, that even though 130 degrees is more than Yad Salet Espo, or when we're Machber, for purposes, let's say, of Shabbos, and we assume that you can't cook foods that will be reach a level of Yad Salet Espo, we assume that's like 113 degrees, so this is more than that. But the concern is that maybe when you are, taste transfers when it's through a heat medium, right? If you were to wash dishes in a dishwasher with solely cold water, so that the non-kosher taste would not transfer to the kosher taste, right? If you use hot water, then it will transfer, but how hot does it have to be? So the concern is that maybe at 130 degrees, not all of the non-kosher taste will be expunged from the tongs. So in other words, during the first rinse, you're not going to get rid of all the non-kosher taste because 130 degrees is not a very high temperature. But then what's going to happen the second rinse? The second rinse is 170 degrees with no soap. So then the concern is the non-kosher taste will be expunged from the tongs in the second rinse, and there's no soap, and it'll be transferred to the brew basket, make the brew basket not kosher. So that's the concern that these kasha organizations have. But wait a second. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei Tzadihei Seif Dalet says that Yerali, it seems to me, Shimnasnu Efer B'mayim Chamin Shebiyora Kodim Shenicha Hakdera B'Tzocha, that if you put ashes in the water, ashes is something that in the hot water, that ashes is something that creates a pogum taste. So if you put it in a fleishig vat before you put, let's say, dairy plates in, even if there is grease attached to the fleishig plates, to the fleishig vat, then mutter, it's permitted, da'idei efer hu nosim talifkad, that because of the ash, it's no same time lifgam. So what we're saying here is that if you place detergent in the, or ashes in this, let's say, in a fleishig pot, and then you put dairy in, and it's hot, right? It's hot water, right? So you have, so then the taste isn't transferred because there is ashes. Now, the Shulchan Aruch seems, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that, again, if the ash is placed before the dairy and the fleishes were added, everything's permitted. Now, according to this, so why don't we say that, if that's the case, that the ashes render the non-kosher taste inedible, so why don't you say that in the first rinse, even though it was 130 degrees, the soap that was added made the taste in the tongs pogum. In other words, even if not all of the taste is expunged from the tongs and in rinse number one, that's 130 degrees, but since you're adding soap, why don't we say that now the taste in the tongs, the non-kosher and tongs, become pogum because of the soap based on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, by the way, it's true, the Shach and Taz and Gra argue in the Shulchan Aruch, but the majority of Achronim understand that they would agree that maybe Afer would not render the taste pogum, but majority of Achronim say that if like you use something very strong, then it would render the taste to be pogum. So based on the Shulchan Aruch, if we understand the Shulchan Aruch like this, then in Ritz number one, it seems according to the Shulchan Aruch, that the soap rendered the taste that's still inside the tongs to be pogum, and then we shouldn't have a problem. And the truth is, if you hold like this, and there's a certainly way to read the Shulchan Aruch like this, then that would mean that the brew basket is definitely kosher, even if it's washed with the non-kosher tongs. However, the Chazon Ish says, no. That Shulchan Aruch is talking about the following case. When you have let's say, where you have essentially The Shulchan Aruch is only needed when you're washing meat and dairy together with soap. Meaning that if you have a fleishik pot and dairy plates inside the fleishik pot and boiling hot water with soap, so then we'll say, then the Shulchan Aruch will say, yeah, there's no taste transferred from the fleishik pot to the dairy plate because everything is pavul. Then we're going to be, then we'll be lenient. However, that case is when there actually is, like when they're being washed together. However, in our case, in the first cycle, or the first rinse with soap at 130 degrees, it's the way the Chazon Ish understands the Shulchan Aruch is that the soap would not render the taste in the tongs pugum. If the taste is trying to be transferred to a kosher kli, if you're washing a treif kli and a kosher kli and there's soap, so then yes, of course, the soap would render the taste pugum. However, if you just have a pot, a fleishik pot, or even a treif pot, and you wash it with hot water and soap, that will not render the soap will not render the taste inside the kli to be pugum. So if you're machmer like the Chazon Ish, then after the first rinse of 130 degrees with the soap, there still is non-pugum taste in the tongs, and then rinse number two with 170 degrees, so then the taste leaves the tongs and it transfers to the brew basket, and the brew basket becomes non-kosher. So again, if you don't hold the chumrah of the Chazon Ish, the coffee is totally permitted. The Star K and the CRC is saying that maybe we should be machmir like the Chazon Ish. The issue though is that even if let's assume the brew basket is not kosher. But wait a second, the brew basket only comes in contact with the kosher coffee as a kli sheni, because basically you have the water coming from the top of the pot, and it goes from the top of the machine, and then it goes into the filter, and from the filter into the brew basket. So therefore, the hot water and the coffee is only coming into contact with the brew basket as a kli sheni. And what's the halacha about kli sheni? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeradeya, Kuf Hei, Seif Beis, says that when it comes to kli sheni, one opinion is that it doesn't transfer taste. Some say it does transfer taste, and maybe it's an is, and maybe it forbids kidei klipa. But at the very least, for roy lachosh lizar b'davar lechatchila, we say that you should be concerned lechatchila. Okay, but aval b'davar mutar below klipa, that we're concerned lechatchila, ideally. We're concerned that a kli sheni can transfer taste lechatchila, but the evidence we're not concerned and it's permitted. So what does that mean? It means that when they pour the coffee, when the coffee goes into the brew basket lechatchila, maybe you're concerned that maybe it will transfer taste, but by the evidence it's totally permitted, it's totally kosher, it does not transfer taste. So basically, another question could be is what's considered lechatchila and what's considered b'di'eved, right? So do you say, well, listen, I'm not the one who's pouring the coffee into the brew basket. The worker at 7-Eleven, or I'm sorry, at Dunkin' Donuts is pouring the coffee into the 7-Eleven. So they're pouring it in. They're doing it on their own accord. And what are they doing? The coffee itself is kosher b'di'eved. So I'm simply buying the coffee. Or do we say no? Then when you buy the coffee, you're doing this lechatchila. So again, either if you don't hold like the Chazon Ish, or if you say that this is b'di'eved, and for me buying the coffee, it's b'di'eved, so it should be totally permitted. If you're machmer like the Chazon Ish, and there is taste transfer in the second rinse from the non-kosher tongs to the brew basket, then we would say lechatchila you shouldn't order coffee where there will be from a non-kosher brew basket, even though it's a cliche. There, by the way, there also is a Chayi Adam who says that if the Chayi Adam that's cited in Mishnah Brewer, Simon Shin Yud Ches Sif Katab Em Ches, who says if it's Yad Nichfes Bo, if it's piping hot, if your hand can be burnt by the heat, meaning it's like very, very hot, that everyone holds, it cooks even in a klisheni. So if you're machmer like the Chazon Ish, if you're strict to the Chazon Ish, so maybe the piping hot coffee there is taste transfer with the piping hot coffee from the brew basket, but doesn't seem interesting in the CRC article. It doesn't mention the Chayi Adam. It seems that number one, maybe we're machmir like the Chazon Ish, and number two, therefore this is lechatchila situation. You can't just go and buying the coffee is a lechatchila situation. Again, that's a debatable point. Now, why would you be lenient with 7-Eleven stores and Dunkin' Donuts? So I think the assumption here is that 7-Eleven stores, they simply wash the brew basket in the sink. There's no dishwasher and therefore there's no taste transfer. Regarding Dunkin' Donuts, Rabbi Fishbane from the CRC explained that there are generally, Dunkin' Donuts has many kosher locations in the United States, so it's more kosher conscious. And they generally prefer products with hashgacha, the ones without. So there's a good chance that maybe it wasn't even washed with something that's not with non-kosher kalim. The brew basket was not washed with non-kosher kalim. And secondly, more importantly, all Dunkin' Donuts locations use a specialized dishwasher that introduces soap and water simultaneously. So that's pagu. And additionally, even more important, the water temperature is set so it never exceeds yad seletispo. It never exceeds 110 degrees. So even in a non-kosher location serving bacon, the kli that's handling the bacon, if you put it in a dishwasher, because it's not yad seletispo, and even more so there's soap, it will not transfer taste to the brew baskets. That's why Dunkin' Donuts seems to be more preferred than Starbucks. Now the Star K permits buying coffee when you're traveling on the road. Why? Because what do we say? We said that b'di'eved cliche no enim avasho. B'di'eved, the coffee doesn't transfer taste. The brew basket, even if it's not kosher, it will transfer taste to a cliche b'di'eved. So we hold that stam kalim are enim b'nei yoman. If you don't know, if a kli, a regular kli of a non-Jew, unless you know for sure it was definitely used that day for non-kosher, we're going to assume that it's einam b'nei yoman, b'di'eved. We're going to say that we can assume that they're b'di'eved okay. And the Nori B'Yehuda in Yordea Sheila Lamed Vav says, l'halacha l'maisa b'derech b'ushpiza she'ein shem kelim acherim mechshev di'avad. That the Nobi Hudan discussed whether you could be lenient by using mugs that may have absorbed non-kosher milk. This is before Moshe Teter. He's lenient when someone is traveling in an inn based on the fact that this is a b'di'eved situation. And therefore, the Star K writes that Rabbi Heidemann applies the same thinking to our modern coffee house issue. He says that when someone is on the road traveling, he is considered to be in a b'di'eved situation, and that's based on the Nobi Hudan. And also, and he said, based on Star K investigation, we also know that treif dishes at Starbucks are not always washed with coffee equipment. Therefore, you can use the heter of Stam Kalim since we are in a b'di'eved situation. So it seemed that Star K says totally permitted when you are on the road. What's the issue of going to a coffee shop? Why should it be also to go to a coffee shop? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simon Kuf Yudal Sif Alf, space to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that because of the concern of intermarriage, you can't drink beer made by a non-Jew in the place where they're sold. The Ramah limits it to date or fig beer because that was the beverage commonly consumed when the decree was enacted, but all other forms of beer are permitted. So if you hold like the Ramah, no problem, beer except for dated fig beer. However, the Gra says everyone argues on the Ramah. But the Gra also quotes the Tur that he says it doesn't only apply to beer, but it also applies to non-alcoholic beverage, honey drink, a chashav drink. So the question is, do we follow the Gra? Are you allowed to drink? And the concern here is one of intermarriage. Are you allowed to drink a chashav drink in the place where it's being sold out of by a non-Jew, in the place of a non-Jew who's in the house of a non-Jew, or a store by a non-Jew, like a Starbucks? Are you allowed to drink it in the coffee house? Is that, are we, again, the Ramah, it's not a problem, but the Gra says everyone argues on him. Does it apply also to a chashav drink? And would coffee be considered a chashav drink? Do we follow the Gra that applies to even non-beers? And does it apply to coffee? The Kaf HaChaim in Siman Kuf Yadal says, Mutter lishtos ha-kafi, shal goyim beveis ovei kochavim, the emo shum bishule goyim. And he says you can drink coffee in their coffee house, and there's no problem with bishalakum. And he says it's also not a problem of, it's not a problem, you know, it's not under this gezeira. And he said, this is kach nogu b'dinos Baghdad, she shows him a coffee vate beis agoyim, they drink coffee and tea in the non-Jewish coffee houses and tea houses. However, the Chachma Sodom in Shar Isser V'Heter, Klal Samak Vav, Sif Yadal, it says that B'Avnoseinu Rabim, Kava Kakulim Ba'im Mizah, many problems come from having coffee in these non-Jewish coffee houses. We probably shows coffee and chalav, Shu Isser Gomer, Milvad, Shal Dezeh, Chatz Shal Bodli Dez Nus. He said there's a people would get together, they drink coffee, and they get in these non-Jewish coffee shops, and they socialize with the non-Jews, and it would lead to znus, to immorality. And he said, "Akol akein kol asher bo reach Torah yarchin mizev lemele hikares levatem lishtos eizem mashke shiyah." Therefore, anyone who has an aroma of Torah should distance himself from going to these coffee houses. Again, there are tshuvos. The Gemara Moshe allows it if it's for business, if you need to for business. But it would seem that, based on the Chachmas Adam, that we should try to avoid going to these coffee shops. So even if there's a possibility that some Starbucks coffee products are kosher, it would still be prohibited to drink the coffee there. Schachter was quoted as accepting the stringency of the Chachmas Adam, but agreeing that if it's uncommon to socialize with strangers in the coffee shops, there's room to be lenient. So it seemed to me that, like, if you're in the part of the coffee shop where, like, you know, there's a bar in front and, you know, there's opportunities to socialize with random strangers, that would be a problem according to the Chachmas Adam. But maybe if it's sort of like where you're going just with a family, and maybe you need some internet service, and you get a coffee, and you're in your own workstation, and it's not, you're not doing this to socialize, but you're doing this to get Wi-Fi to do some work or to do something to drink with your family, so maybe that might be permitted. That might not be a problem, at least maybe according to Rav Schachter.